but you have to have a VPN to get
it. Look at that. Now, away we go. We're on air. Yay! So I listened to the last recording, like the first 45 seconds sounds like we're all screaming at the microphone.
Bob, I miss his questions.
Really?
He's out playing jellyfish last week.
Hey, I'm recording.
Where'd you say he was,
hey,
Maggie?
Bob, where are you?
Counting jellyfish.
Oh Bob? No.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is that a euphemism?
Measuring.
What could that possibly mean?
Well, don't sting.
Yeah, and they're about this big. And you're saying they just literally were picking them up out of the water. And I guess... I don't remember the quantity that's shipped to Japan.
About 30 miles south of here.
Actually, they're at Kochari.
They are Kochari.
Instant video.
Except they're about, because we were there a few weeks ago.
What's that, Dick? I think I am. I'm going to shoot out a message saying that we're in session.
I didn't do any session.
Well, you can put that in.
Oh, there you go.
Oh my!
Oh my goodness!
Where'd you get that from?
Oh wow!
I took it.
Where is that?
Down at Cochurite, when they were harvesting the blue jellies.
You went down there too? With those guys?
With what guys?
Bob and Marilyn.
No.
Where did you go?
They put them in salt. And then they rip the guts out, and they salt the bodies and the guts separately, and then they ship them off to Korea and Japan and China. They're delicate. It was very interesting.
Oh,
that's a great picture.
That's a wonderful.
Isn't that neat? I don't know.
Well, they went with some biologists.
We went down on an ATV ride. Those are the whole kids that were working.
Oh, the beach is. If you go stay on the highway, you go basket bombing, and you come to some big speed bumps. And there's two restaurants on the right hand side. You make a right. I used to love to go there until it was so dirty with plastic bottles and everything.
Oh, there. Yeah. This is who I went with.
Oh, my.
And where was that?
Kochurite.
Oh,
south of
them.
Yes.
You go down and it says to La Playa Cochurite. It was fun.
12-13 years old here.
No, we don't do that anymore.
I was scuba diving.
Bill's
not
up.
Snorkeling with some friends. And I felt.
You've got to load the machines.
There they are.
And I don't like having to have.
Oh wow! And it's all like Cochurite. I didn't realize there was a market for those.
You can't tie it down yourself.
So I was talking to the guy. There was this guy that was. He said it's okay to come in. And so I was speaking to him in Spanish, and he said. I speak Chinese or English. And he was like, this was like a Chinese factory.
Wow.
It was very interesting.
It'd be a good school program.
And is this just a the period, time period a year?
Yes.
Yeah. The rig to put it down because the balance is so bad. And she couldn't go in the house, but it can ride. He rides out in the desert.
They take them up on conveyor belts.
Oh, look at that. Wow.
It was really very interesting. There they are sorting.
It's kind of like Eric. Day before yesterday.
Wow. And how do they collect them?
In those pockets.
Like with nets? They just net them up?
They even made it around the block a couple days ago. And I said, well, it's just going to get worse.
All I ever want to do is avoid jellyfish.
Yeah.
Are they? I mean, is it? They eat them. Is that what it is?
It's a delicacy.
In the Orient,
yeah, because they were taking them from China and Korea. But they had these huge piles of salt that they were using.
And nothing hurts them.
The other is, I think, alcohol.
Wow.
Your body.
My body.
But it's only like for a month a year.
I walk better with the walker.
We brought a walker down.
We brought a walker. He had a walker when we went to the airport.
May I bring our meeting to order? Is that all right? Is everybody okay with that? We've got a small enough group. I feel like I need to get a consensus on. Everybody interested in having a computer club meeting this morning? So this is the San Carlos Computer Club. I have started streaming live, so watch your tongue because people are out there listening. All two of them will hear you and the things you have to say about Bob. You do. That was great. We miss you, Bob. Come back. So I'm Scott Stimson, and you all know me. And we do this club every Tuesday from 9:15 to 10:15 and try and help each other solve our own tech problems and share tech news. And my first question to the group is, did anybody buy an Apple Watch?
Couple.
Yeah, a couple.
Is anyone going to buy an
Is anybody going to buy an Apple Watch? Did you guys see that they estimate that they sold 1.5 million watches the first day?
Wow. The $300 ones?
And well, why the middle class I'm sure the $350 ones. Yeah. Wouldn't that be amazing? They sold a million $10,000 watches.
Maggie, I thought you'd
get
that one
for 19,000. She did. She
just
doesn't
want to
tell
us. I'm waiting for them to come out with sparkly hats.
I read some statistic where they sold more watches in 10 minutes than Samsung has sold their smart gear watches all year.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
They sold out in 10 minutes. That's what I heard.
Whether they're going to be any good or not.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
But this goes to the politicians.
The politicians?
Yes, all of them. Saying how the middle class is broke, how they're all complaining, how they don't have any money, how they don't have this. If people go in and start looking at how much money they're spending on all this stuff.
I don't hear the politicians saying that. I hear the politicians saying everything's wonderful and go ahead and
spend. No, every single thing on Sunday was how the middle class
has no money.
Has no money.
They're buying their welfare checks.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, exactly.
I think they need to rein themselves in, and there has to be a limit at how much money you're spending. I mean, I know people down here that don't have any money, yet they've got cell phones from the U.S. that they're paying over $100 a month to keep a U.S. phone number. That's stupid. There's so many ways of getting it for free.
Does it pair with their Apple Watch?
Free. Yeah, it's not pair with their Apple Watch. It's ridiculous.
They got to have some thrill in life.
Well, I do think $350 is rather expensive. They've gone through the feature set of this watch, and it is a beautiful watch, but there is a couple of things that surprised me. One is that it's not multi-touch. So I thought that was odd since they've already had an iPod that was the size of the face of the watch. You remember there was an iPod they released? Yeah, a shuffle that you could buy a band for and you could use as a watch. That was a multi-touch device. You could put two fingers on it. And this device apparently isn't a multi-touch device. It is a force touch device, which I think is a really lousy marketing term.
Yeah, you'd have trouble with these big old claws.
Well, and there has been some complaints about the size. Why there's two different sizes. There's a smaller and a larger size. I think it was 38 millimeters, I want to say, and 42 millimeters. I think that's right. Yeah, and maybe it's centimeters.
How big? 38 inch and a half.
An inch and a half. Yeah, so that would be about right, wouldn't it? 38 millimeters and 42 millimeters. And there was complaints about accidentally touching or not being able to accidentally. This all sounds very strange.
I heard the complaint was the learning curve that's involved. It takes a long time to figure out what you want to do.
In fact, I've been listening to podcasts of reviewists that have had it for the last 10 days, and they were learning new stuff on the air. And like 10 days they've had this thing on their wrist, and they're still talking to each other and learning something new from each other because it's not obvious, it's not apparent how to use it.
Not user friendly.
Yeah, I don't see it. And if you look at the feature set that it covers, Well, there's a lot of stuff out there that already covers a lot of those features and is much cheaper than this watch. So it really does start to feel like they're Gucci bags. Right? And it really starts to feel that way.
The price goes up by $1,000.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we're looking at Apple trying to be a Gucci or one.
Will it do something that the phone won't do, smartphone?
Well, there is some stuff. Like, there's the Dick Tracy stuff. Like, you can actually have a phone, or supposedly you can have a phone conversation across your watch.
Can't you do it on your phone, though?
Yeah, you can. And Chester, to drive your point home, you can't do it without the phone.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
right?
Really? Oh, you can't just talk on your watch.
You can, but you better have your phone in the pocket because it doesn't work without the phone.
Oh, so you can't just talk on your
you
watch.
You can't just talk on your watch. Oh, that's right. You can.
We need to
go
back to this.
They'll be showing up on eBay.
There was one reviewist that did some interesting stuff with it. Like, they went running with it. That was the only device they took with them. They're able to track their progress. They're able to see themselves on a map. They're able to track their health.
Their health,
like their
heartbeat.
That's right. Things like that.
I can do that on my phone.
Right, but this is on your wrist. This isn't in your pocket.
Exactly.
And they were also able to take it to a Starbucks. I mean, like at the end of their run, they went into a Starbucks and they purchased a coffee using Apple Pay from their watch. Mm-hmm. And the reviews is like there's a lot of things I don't get about this device, but I got that. That really, really worked well and impressive and blew my mind.
See, I don't know how to do that on my phone.
Right. Well, and that's the other thing that all these journalists continue to say is we're tech people. Right, we're tech people. This blows my mind, but still, I don't see a normal person doing that.
Well, you got a bunch of normals around here.
I don't think I can put Apple Pay on my 5S. I think I have to have a 6 iPhone before I can use Apple Pay.
That's a good question. A few weeks ago, I knew the answer to that. Now
I did too,
I'm forgetting.
And I think that is the answer, but I'm not positive.
It seems like that's what it is. You can use the watch for Apple Pay, and you need at least a 5 to pair the watch. So I bet you can't use Apple Pay unless you have
a watch
on your iPhone 5.
It still doesn't sell me a watch, but...
Anyway, I found all that interesting, but not very relevant, because I don't see anybody in this group interested in buying a smart watch.
He'll have one.
Chester will have
one. No.
Yeah.
Chester still hasn't gotten one.
All right, here's what will make me buy one of these watches.
I don't know how to work
them. Well, first of all, the price has to drop a little bit, because I think $199, if they were giving these watches away at $199, I think all of us might be interested in it.
Well, they'll show up on eBay, because people will buy them and be disillusioned with them and sell them.
Yeah. But I think the other thing is the phone call thing, the aspect that you need a phone with it. And I'm really hoping what we're looking at into the future is we'll have multiple devices that all work across the same data plan. And so you'd have the equivalent of having a chip in your watch that's a clone of the chip you have in your phone, which is a clone chip that you carry in your tablet. And you can use the same data plan across all these devices. I think when you can decouple the watch from the phone, then it becomes a much more intriguing device. Because you get all the stuff your Fitbit would give you, but then you've got the ability to make phone calls and the Dick Tracy thing. And
are they waterproof?
No, they are not. They're water resistant. They are. And one of the reviewers actually strapped a camera to their head. They had an SLR on a bicycle helmet, and they walked around all day taking video of them using the watch. And one of the things was they're in the shower with the watch. She also said she got soap in the watch, she got toothpaste in the watch, and it continues to work, but all the warnings say, don't get any soap on the screen, don't get the watch submerged in water. It is water resistant. I mean, Apple will say you can walk in the rain with it without having to worry about it, but don't go swimming with it.
Yeah. So it says iPhone 5, 5S, and 5C owners can use Apple Pay with the help of an Apple Watch.
Yep. So we remembered it correctly.
Exactly. Yeah.
So for $350, you can start using Apple Pay.
You can spend more money.
How much? Out of curiosity, what's the going price on an iPhone 6?
I'm
thinking it's $600 to get into it.
Maybe.
So that's cheaper than upgrading your phone just to buy a watch.
That's true.
If you want to pay for your Starbucks.
That's
with the
true.
Touch.
Depends who you need to impress.
Yeah. Well, what doesn't make sense to me is I thought that the fingerprint reader was part of the Apple Pay thing.
Well, I have that on my phone.
That's what it is. It's not the fingerprint reader. It's the near field communications chip. It's the NFC chip that the watch has that your phone doesn't, that the iPhone 6s have. This chip that Android phones have had for a while now that allow you to get close to a paying mechanism and identify yourself using the phone.
Right.
That's how you can use your iPhone 5 with Apple Pay is there's an NFC chip in the watch.
It's $199 for a 6 or a 6 Plus is from $299.
Okay, but that's the under contract.
Yeah.
And so I think the unlocked without a contract are at least $600.
So before you buy the $350 watch, you must have already spent $600 on the proper item.
Well, that was the comparison we were just making. Is she has an iPhone 5S. If she wants to use the Apple Pay system, she has to have the watch or upgrade her phone. See, the watch will allow you to use Apple Pay
on the previous phone,
and the watch is only $350. Whereas upgrading her phone starts at $600. So, see, you shouldn't have me do my Apple marketing.
And then you might have to with one that you have to wear on the other arm,
right? Or $400. Or if you really want to do Apple Pay, you could get a $150 Android phone with an NFC chip and just call it Apple Pay every time you use the exact same system. Because that's all it is the NFC system identifying you with your phone instead of with a credit card, instead of with a signature. And there is no difference. And that was the reason that when these new iPhone 6s came out with Apple Pay, there's more to come. They were able to walk into stores like Walmart and use Apple Pay, even though they weren't officially supporting Apple Pay. And the reason is because Apple Pay is just a branding name for a system that has existed out there in the U.S. for the last 3 years that could have been taken advantage of. I mean, these things exist. You see them at McDonald's if you go into McDonald's. They're these little kiosks that have a little raised plaque that you can put a device up against, and nobody uses them because they don't understand what they're about. Apple Pay is the idea that everybody's starting to understand how this system works.
Isn't Amazon doing the same thing though? I think they are.
Well, again, the point being, nobody's putting Apple Pay kiosks out there. The kiosks already exist. All they've done is rebrand something that already exists, and you were able to take your new iPhone 6 and use your credit card to pay for things at these kiosks that already exist. And the reason is because the standard's been around for 3 years. So my point being that if you really wanted to do Apple Pay, well, you could just do Google Pay. You could do Google Wallet. With a $150 smartphone, you could have the phone on a pay-as-you-go plan with T-Mobile, and the whole point is that you could pull it out instead of pulling out your wallet. You didn't buy it for anything else. It's probably got a better camera on it by this point, too.
Wouldn't you like to come back 100 years from now and see what happened to all of this stuff?
Well, they're all going to 100 years. Look at Samsung's coming out 10 with
years.
It too.
Yeah.
Go,
10 years
go back 20 years and see where we've come from.
Back to the city. You were
20 years ago, down here, we had to go to a little store down here to use telephone. Right. Remember?
Yeah.
I still have one of those little cards. Yeah. I don't know whether it's any good anymore. I used to stick into the phones.
Yeah. They, well, 20 years ago, it was a long distance call to Guaymas, mm-hmm. and we were fighting over phone lines here in San Carlos.
We still apply to mm-hmm. in Loma Linda.
Yeah. Yeah, you do?
I remember going to Cancun like in 1990, and you having to stand in line and wait for the one telephone in the mall.
Right.
Oh, wow.
To call only collect.
To call only collect.
Right.
Yeah. Linda, you had just mentioned something about Samsung.
Yes, they're not coming out with their own pay also. So they're all going to have their own pay.
So it's if Samsung's coming out with their own pay, what that means is they're providing an NFC pay service to compete with Google's pay service, the Google Wallet service. Because up till now, they've been using Google
PayPal.
Wallet.
And the PayPal.
I haven't. Does PayPal actually do the NFC stuff? I think PayPal's got its own system.
Well, you can't go to a... PayPal has the new thing where you can pay... Like at Walmart, you can pay with PayPal at the...
At the checkout
counter,
yeah.
How do you do that? Mm-hmm. How do you do that?
They've got something in the... the keypad or something. You have to tell the girl that you're going to pay with PayPal.
Yeah, wow. I think you have to go through some motions with the PayPal app, they have to do something on their end, and then you got to do something with your end.
If you're paying for PayPal with a credit card, what's the point of PayPal? Why don't you just use a credit card?
It's
right.
More secure, supposedly.
Actually, the PayPal that I pay goes directly to my bank account.
Right.
Immediately to my bank account.
Hey, I'll tell you one thing that PayPal's been good for is paying for Hide My Ass.
Really?
I've had more and more experiences recently where people have been delayed in purchasing a VPN online because they have to go through an extra security check because they're buying it from Mexico. Even though they're a U.S. citizen and they've got a U.S. Mm-hmm. credit card, Hide My Ass will shoot back. You need to go through an extra security process to validate this credit card, and it requires you as a user to get a hold of your bank and get an authorization code that you can give to Hide My Ass before they'll turn your service on. It's actually cramped my style quite a bit because I'll be over helping somebody get set up on their VPN, and now we got to wait for this process to finish. And depending on the bank, it could take anywhere from 20 minutes to a day before they're ready to go.
I think now that's the only way you can buy something on eBay is with PayPal.
Oh, yeah. Well, what I was going to say about Hide My Ass is if you have a PayPal balance, it's immediately authorized. Yeah. And so you don't have to go through that. But if you are using a credit card with PayPal, say you only have a credit card associated with it, it'll take the same security check. Yeah. Hmm. It'll take just as long.
Well, if you have your... PayPal really likes you to set up your bank account.
That's what I've
And heard. Then use a credit card as your secondary...
Right.
Mm-hmm. Your secondary fallback.
Right.
But I've never had... The only place I had problem... Well, I had one problem with Best Buy, and I solved that issue with them. And then I had... wanted to buy some stuff from Hay Needle. Well, they absolutely, even when I called them, they wouldn't do it. Mm-hmm. And they kept saying, well, it's a problem with your credit card. I said, it can't be. I said, I buy stuff online all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, your address is wrong. I said, it is not. Well, it was wrong. When I called up the bank, you know, we have the post office. On the very first line, they had the box number. And then they had the address line instead of the address line and then your apartment underneath. Mm. And they picked up on that. And I called them and I said, well, I called the bank and they fixed it.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy goes, well, we're still not going to sell to you. And I said, well, then I guess I'm never buying from you. But Best Buy, I called them. They did it on the phone. But they wouldn't do it on...
Online?
Right. And then they asked me some security questions.
It may very much have to do with making purchases from a foreign country.
But you shouldn't have any problem using PayPal.
No.
I don't know why it would.
No, I don't.
I don't either.
There is no... That was my point.
But mine's not associated with my bank account.
Right, I'm talking about a balance on...
Oh, mine's with the bank account.
Yeah, and actually the credit card, I have mine associated with a credit card as well. I don't want them to have access to my bank account. My PayPal balance is filled by work that I'm doing, and people pay me. Yeah, I use a balance.
I don't.
And so anybody that's been using a balance then hasn't had a problem using Hide My Ass.
What do you mean a balance of money that you haven't
money on deposit?
Yeah, money you haven't deposited in your bank account. That's in your PayPal account.
That's all I'm using that way.
It's just sitting there being funds available, just like you'd have funds available in a bank account, but you've got them in PayPal. If you've got funds available in PayPal, then you can immediately pay for your Hide My Ass VPN, and there's no additional security screening. Whereas if you only have a credit card, you don't have a balance, but you have a credit card that will be billed through PayPal, that takes extra security screening for Hide My Ass. Or if you're just using a credit card, many times now I've seen it require extra security screening. And what this tells me is we're more and more, this is what I figured was going to happen, is that we're in Mexico, they're not going to raise your credit card rates, they're just going to start making it more and more difficult because they're trying to prevent fraud against themselves. The balance on PayPal represents fraud against you. You're on your own with your balance. Credit card company, just like your experience, the credit card company is getting harder and harder to validate security because they don't want to have to lose money because they're not going to charge you whatever gets... That's the way the credit card companies work. They've got an insurance policy against you in case there's some kind of fraud. You're not liable for those charges. However, they still lose profits whenever they have to deal with those charges.
They're not protecting you, they're protecting themselves.
That's right. And this is just one more example of that. And it's just getting harder and harder. And my favorite example was HP. When I tried to purchase some stuff from HP long ago.
Oh, yeah.
I couldn't use my credit card to save my life. I called them on the phone. I dealt with them first over a web page, then I called them on the phone, and it didn't matter. I could verify who I am. I have a U.S. address. I was even shipping to the U.S. I was just doing the transaction from Mexico. They would not let me do it. There was no way they were going to sell to me because I was physically located in Mexico. Oh, go ahead.
This morning, I made a purchase on Overstock. And I went to my cart, and it wouldn't go anywhere. So I thought, I wonder if it's one of those companies that doesn't sell to you if you're using a VPN. So I turned my VPN off, went back to my Overstock, clicked on it, no problem.
Wow.
But since they knew I was using the VPN, they wouldn't let the cart go any farther. And I paid with PayPal, and that was no problem. But Overstock wouldn't let it go anywhere.
Right.
Until I turned my VPN.
Wow, so they didn't have a problem with a foreign purchase. No, they had a problem with an anonymous purchase.
Yep.
Interesting. Well, that's, you know, you bring up a good topic with VPNs because just recently I was reading some news about how in New Zealand content providers are going against an ISP, an internet service provider, because part of their package that they're selling people in New Zealand is a free VPN.
Oh, wow.
Right? So they've been marketing this VPN, and they've been marketing it as, see Netflix from the United States.
Wow.
Right? That's part of their marketing campaign. And so the content providers that have, not Netflix directly, but the people that make shows and license them to Netflix have waged a court battle against this ISP. For marketing to thwart Netflix's terms of service. I don't know, what's a better word for that? They basically, you're bypassing their terms of service with Netflix, and so they've started, I guess in the States it would be considered a civil suit or a class action kind of suit against them. Not a class action suit, what would it be? Because it's not illegal. I mean, we're talking about terms of service, we're not talking about breaking the law. They've all agreed when they use this service that they're going to use it in a particular way, and they're not using it in that way. And so that's what they're doing, is they're bringing a suit against this ISP for positioning itself to in a way that it's encouraging people to break the terms of service. In fact, I remember reading that was probably the highest point that could be made in law, would be that they're encouraging people to break the terms of service agreement that they already have. These are, to reiterate, these are Netflix New Zealand accounts that they could use. If they got on a plane and they went to the United States and they pulled up Netflix, they would have full access to the United States Netflix. Just the same way we come down here, we have full access to Mexican Netflix, right, with our U.S. account. That's part of the terms of service. The stipulation is you only get what was licensed in Mexico. In New Zealand, you only get what's licensed in New Zealand. You go to the United States, you only get what's licensed in the United States. If there was New Zealand content that you couldn't live without and it's not licensed in the United States, you'd have to use a VPN back home so that you could get that content. That's how these licensing agreements work. But because this ISP is going, hey, free security through a VPN, anonymous behavior on the internet, and a bonus, you can watch Netflix from the United States, or you can watch BBC Play from England with this VPN. Now those content providers are coming after that ISP. And all that was said to spark a stimulating conversation. Internet security and VPN use. Nobody cares. I was watching John Oliver this morning, and he had an interview with Edward Snowden. And he started out, why are we not connected to the internet right now? Why are we not connected to my stream? We've lost the stream. They're like, stop talking about VPNs. They just brought down my home. And he started out in the streets of New York City asking people if they knew who Edward Snowden was. And nobody knew who Edward Snowden was. Yeah, I know we're all aware of it because of our club meetings, but it was amazing. It was probably indicative of a large portion of the USA. They probably knew who Edward Snowden was for 20 minutes. And then rolled over and went back to doing whatever they were doing. And so I'm feeling that way about you guys and VPNs at this moment.
And I use Unitelly myself.
Unitelly. Okay.
And I got it for the TV originally, so it's U.S. for all the channels. Well, if you use their Dynamo, they advertise it. I can switch it to any country I want out of their 50 countries or whatever it is. Automatically just switch it, and then I have their VPN also service where I can physically put my computer in any country that they offer.
Right.
I think there's 7 of them. Netherlands is the best because for person to person, it's legal unless you upload.
Unless you upload.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you can download.
Wait a second. What would make it illegal?
Netherlands passed a sharing law that if I have a movie and I want to share it with you, it's perfectly well for me to share it with you as long as you're not using it to make money.
Okay. That's right. I forgot about that. Yeah.
And so it's completely...
Landmark legislation. Forgot all about
it. It's completely legal to...
share movies between
so
each other.
If
yeah.
you're running popcorn time or whatever, watching these movies or your IPTV that... The 250, the
Mag. As long as they're not making money off of it,
right?
I mean, it's the essentially the equivalent of mixtapes and bootleg tapes in the States at one point, where it was perfectly legal to make copies of tapes and exchange them with each other as long as we weren't making any money off.
And for us, as long as we're not uploading content,
because you're not in the Netherlands,
right? So I just turn off the upload part,
mm-hmm.
and stream all the movies. Sweden's the best.
Interesting.
Sweden. It's legal both ways.
And what was that called again?
Unitelly.
Unitelly?
Yeah.
You know.
Why? Yeah, you know telly.
Or UNOtelly.
That's
you. UNOtelly.
And it's great.
TLI or TLLY?
You know telly. And you can put it the DNS redirect in your TV if your TV has that option, or you can put it in your router.
No, Kelly.
And then what I do is I put it in the router so it's over the whole house, and I use the redirect, and then on the computer, I change it to whatever country I want to
be in with the VPN service.
You're
streaming, not downloading.
For streaming, no, I'm downloading content too. Over torrents and stuff. I put myself in Netherlands. It's legal to download.
I see what you're talking about. You're using a VPN to go to the Netherlands to do downloads like torrents because it's not illegal to do it there. That
and
makes sense.
Also, Mexico, it's kind of, it's illegal, but there's no trolls around here to, because Mexico's not making any money on it. But that's what I use the VPN service for. And there's also a U.S. one. They have U.S., Canada, Netherlands, U.K., Germany, and there's one other.
Now, that's going to be interesting. I like that approach, and I imagine we're going to see more and more of those kinds of approaches. Like, you want to do something online. Well, it's not legal here to do it that way. But you make a connection to another country.
Hey,
it's legal there, so we'll do it there. Gosh, oh my gosh. That's crazy.
Thing with Netflix, okay, and I read about it, and I went back in there this morning because somebody was posting about Netflix on Viva. Okay, if you have only one device you're running, it's $7.99. But say you have a device, and you're sharing with your grandkids, and they're on the device, and you want to be on at the same time, then you need to go to the $9.99. If you have more than two devices, then you have to go to the $11.99 a month. There's three plans.
When did it start?
It must have just started recently because
that's all.
I was in there, and I have a friend that's having a problem with this Netflix. And I realized that that's what is wrong because his kids, his grandkids and his son are at their house in Vegas. And they're all trying to watch it. And they got two devices running, more than two devices. In other words, two. And if you want to watch, say you're on in the TV room and you want to watch it on that TV and your wife goes in the bedroom and wants to watch Netflix in the bedroom,
mm-hmm.
you got more than one device running and you won't be able to watch it without going to the next table.
When this is taken.
Wait a second, have you...
One device is $7.99, two devices is...
But have you actually experienced a problem yet?
Yes.
I haven't.
Irving has a problem because the kids are in Vegas and they can't watch it at the same time. So I went back in there and I said, you need to change your account.
Pay more money.
Pay more money to get two devices running or three devices if they're all sharing the account.
Yeah, they used to give you five or something.
Yeah,
like
well,
that.
They aren't giving you. One now is $7.99. Two is $8.99. Mm-hmm. And the other is $11.99.
Well, mine's going to go up because I just went from two to three.
Yeah.
In Mexico, you still can. My neighbor's got the Mexican Netflix.
Well, this is U.S.
And him
Netflix.
And his kid are.
Right. Yeah, and I was aware of this different pricing model, but I'm not aware of Netflix actually policing it.
Well, he's having a problem, and they can't watch it at the same time. So either they might be.
Interesting.
But they're in two different ISPs too, so it might be they're picking up.
Well, it might be even something more basic than that. It might be that the devices that they're using. Like, it could be the website versus a Roku. Mm. And maybe one of them actually reports back and the other one
and
doesn't.
The TV. TV and the computer.
In fact, that might be it. It might be there's a certain style of device that's counted as using the stream. Like, you're only allowed to use it on a smart TV. And then all other streams are blocked. But if you're on a website here, website here, website there, that doesn't register the same.
Right.
Because I know from experience that there's much less people. I mean, I haven't had that experience, and there's a lot of people using multiple streams with that basic account.
Correct. So that's probably it. So I think that's the problem he's having. I'm going to go over there now because we were trying to watch a movie the other night over there, and we couldn't do it. And then because the kids were on, so he needs to change his account. And it could be the difference of one being in the U.S. and he's down here and they're going, well.
Now that I think about it, I'm paying $7.99.
Yeah.
And there are three of us using it.
Uh-huh.
I'm here, my husband's in Tucson, and his brother's in San Francisco.
And you're using them at the same time.
Wow.
You know that all the three of you are on Netflix at the same time.
I had to have to check.
Tonight at 8 o'clock, you're all watching it.
My husband and I are on together all the time.
I don't know. Anyway, it just says that if you look it up.
Hmm. I'll check my account, see if it goes up this next month.
Well, I don't think they can they can't bump you up.
Well, they'd have to notify you, I guess.
Right. Yeah. What they do is you just wouldn't be able to do it, and you'd call them or get a hold of them going, why can't I do it? And say, well, you're trying to do too many streams. You need to bump your account up to the next level.
Well, that might be what they're...
I just noticed it. They're trying to log in.
Right, right.
Yeah.
For the first time, I just noticed it. That's why. See, because I bought this new Samsung phone, and they gave you 1 year Netflix for free. And when I went in there, because you had to go back in there and put in this code and all that, then I saw the different
device
plans, which I'd never seen before. So maybe they just started them this year.
Yeah, no, I saw them recently too that they were doing that, but I didn't. I have yet to have an experience where they were actually blocking any of these streams.
Well, who knows? Maybe they will. They're all getting smart.
Yeah.
More money.
Well, what I thought was significant about the New Zealand story was that it was not Netflix that was creating the issue in New Zealand. It was ABC, HBO. I'm saying those in general. I'm not saying specifically those. It was that style of people. It was like Disney. It was like they were the ones that were bringing a case against this ISP. It wasn't Netflix that was bringing it.
Well, remember we were talking about Netflix and the Roku?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm just wondering if all these different people that have the Netflix app on their devices, like the Roku, the TVs, they must be paying Netflix something. Netflix would be putting them on their devices for free?
Yeah, to get people to sign up for it.
No, they just put a button
because
on
Roku,
there. When you
right.
push the button, it says sign up here.
Right. Yeah.
I know, but like Roku, I mean, they charge you for using US TV Now that you can get for free on your computer. I realize that US TV Now looks a lot better on the Roku, but
it'll charge me.
On the
just have the basic.
On the Roku?
Yeah. I don't pay for US TV Now on any device.
Because if you go in there, they want you to pay.
I only have the basic 3-4 channels I watch. I can watch.
Well, they always try to sell you the big package.
Yeah.
They don't tell you about the free one, too, but
right.
on the bottom of the page. So maybe that's what it is on the...
So, or you have to go to their private channel and put it on. Because if you come down here with a Roku, it doesn't show the Netflix.
Yeah, that's right.
On here, unless you set the Netflix up there.
Or have a VPN.
Or have a VPN.
Or the DNS redirect works, too. That's what I set mine up with down here.
DNS redirect. Too smart.
I'm chatting with my wife trying to get her to reboot my system at home so I can get the stream back online. She's like, okay, I did it. I'm like, well, how come I'm able to chat with you? Because your internet should be down for the next few minutes as it's restarting. She's like, well, I don't know. It's like, well, I know you didn't do it. Well, I know you think you did it. I know there's no way you could have done it because it's still working.
It's just really slow here. I mean, it goes from 1 up to 4 off and on.
Well, I think it's definitely my side where I run the stream that's the issue because here we seem to be connected. I'm trying to do another test over that direction. Do we have any other topics that we haven't talked about?
Yes. Did you get my hard drive?
I didn't. Gary, it's not going to happen. I have checked on that hard drive 2 weeks in a row, and they're still selling that lousy model. And they're like, you're the guy that's trying to find a different model. We don't have it yet. I like, and I'm a little nervous that, I mean, I trust JG's to sell good parts, and they know this is an unusual circumstance because I buy parts from them all the time, and I test parts from them all the time, and never had a problem. This particular model hard drive has given us problems, and I hope they don't have the same hard drive I've shown is damaged in there trying to be sold. Because they should be sending it back to their supplier going, hey, these are bad hard drives. But they don't have other model hard drives right now.
Does JG have older HP ink packages?
You know, probably it's just easy to call them and find it. They've got a wall of ink, but you'd have to find out whether they've got your ink or not.
They're on the right as you turn going to north.
At Guaymas Norte, you just turn left into Guaymas Norte.
It's on the right.
And it's on the right, like three streets down with a big sign that says JG Computers.
Well, Garcia has a lot of ink, too.
Oh, really?
A lot. Because their ink is in the back room, all up on the shelves.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll try both of them then.
So, except that you have to go into Guaymas for Garcia.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's going to Guaymas
no.
for Garcia's. You know where it is.
No, I don't.
Yeah,
okay.
I know
where they go. Past Lay, down to the Pemex, mm-hmm. where the Santander Bank is.
Okay.
In the corner, left corner.
They used to have a cute little shop in there with Christmas trees and stuff at Christmas time.
It's at Santander.
Oh,
Santander
yeah.
Bank.
Yeah, yeah.
Those chicken wings or something.
Yeah.
You
and they
can't
speak,
tell us.
They speak enough English.
No.
And there's also a really nice grocery store right behind that Pemex, too.
There is.
V-Mark.
I haven't been in there.
Very nice.
And Santander is right there.
Yeah.
They supposedly have a lot of U.S. stuff
well,
in there.
Well, I'll try both of them.
I'd like to bring my car insurance on.
Oh, maybe she did it.
No, it happens.
It's almost time to close it off.
Yeah, it just doesn't matter anymore. Well, we actually got 15 more minutes.
Yeah.
Oh, his?
But she's like, okay, I did it. I'm like, no, you can't send me a message if you did it. I'm like, no, you didn't. But now she hasn't replied to me, so.
I don't think it's that.
Maybe she did do it.
Maybe you're locked out of the house.
Did anybody notice that new item they're coming out with? It's a Wi-Fi killer.
Wi-Fi killer.
Well, basically, it kills your Wi-Fi and Bluetooth signals in your house when you turn it on, so you can get your family back or.
It's a jammer.
In the middle of a meeting, he'd turn it on and all of our tablets wouldn't have any Wi-Fi. Well, of course, either would he.
Right, yeah.
But it's a great idea.
Yeah.
I mean, how many times now you go up, I go up and see the kids, and they're up there, and they're on their phones, and they're talking.
Yeah.
In fact, I had some company come down from San Francisco. He's sitting next to his wife.
Right.
And they're talking.
And they're shooting messages to each other.
And my wife and I are sitting there.
It's just like passing notes. Everybody passes notes.
This new item, they're showing it was a pepper grinder.
Okay.
And it actually grinds pepper. And then if you lift it up and turn the top of it.
Oh, that's fun.
It kills the Bluetooth. And the
that's
Wi-Fi
really
signal.
Fun. Gosh, I get one of those just because it'd be cool to shut everyone down.
Wow.
I'm just peppering my steak.
The mother was doing it. You know, set it back on the table, and all the kids.
I love it.
You must have to have the Wi-Fi password, though. For that.
What? No, not actually. You just have to interrupt a radio signal. That,
so you could just come in here and do that.
Yeah, and actually, from what I understand, state to state, there are laws against that. Yeah.
Yeah,
but you can build your own house out of a telephone.
Yeah,
a
that's.
CD.
A
length of wire and some tape.
Okay.
You take the phone apart and you tap into the antennas on the phone.
Okay.
The wire, basically, and tape it onto the CD. So there's your new
antenna.
Your new antenna. And there was just one more step that you did. I can't remember what it was. I just watched it this morning. And you put the battery back in it. You put the phone back together. And you put tape over the buttons, and then you change the channel, turn it on, then you change the channel until the Wi-Fi goes.
Interesting. We'll have to look for that.
Most of them run on the same frequency.
Yeah, everything runs on the same frequency.
Like
there's
11 or something like that, 10.
Well, it's 2.4 gigahertz, yeah. And then there's a frequency range between there that divides up to 11 or 13 channels. But another thing that's become common is that there are 4 gigahertz and more common, 5 gigahertz.
Yeah, mine's 5.
And so, yeah, I wonder if they're going to have a device like that that covers those, because those are very set slots.
Get a 5 gig phone.
Yeah. Well, I know, like, in my house, we broadcast a 2.4 gigahertz channel and a 5 gigahertz channel. And the idea is that you try and keep everything on the 5 gigahertz channel because everything interferes with the 2.4 gigahertz channel. The difference is that you can have equipment that doesn't support 5 gigahertz.
Yeah.
And so they can only use the 2.4 gigahertz. The other thing that we've noticed... The other thing that we've noticed is that 2.4 gigahertz goes farther than 5 gigahertz. So you got a longer range with 2.4 gigahertz. So I keep all my close devices on 5 gigahertz, mostly things like the Roku and the Xbox and things like that that don't move around the house. And that would have less interference from things like cordless phones or Bluetooth or things like that. But then when you need the range, you still have to do the 2.4 gigahertz if you're floating around the house.
And then it makes a house with all the cement.
Mm-hmm.
Two floors is tough.
Yeah, the N standard's much better than the old, the B or the G standards were as far as... Mm-hmm. And you walk around the corner in a Mexican house with G and you just lose your connection. N is much nicer in that respect. In a lot of the N routers use a MIMO configuration where it bounces signals off walls. You get about the same range if it's open space as you would the old equipment. But if you actually have walls, it'll reproduce signals by bouncing them off walls, from what I understand. Not a radio engineer, so that's all I can share is marketing hype. But it definitely works. Well, she says she's rebooted, but it's not happened.
It'll come back on just in time for you to say,
"That's it, yeah, we're done."
Join us again.
And you're only here for another 2 weeks?
Oh, that's a good topic to bring
up.
That's
a good topic.
Yeah. I think my last meeting with the computer club will be, is it the 28th? I think it's the 28th.
Is that next Tuesday?
No, the Tuesday after next. Tuesday, so we got two more meetings with me. You guys are welcome to have as many meetings as you'd like without me.
And I'm not going to be listening?
I won't have a way to listen.
You know what?
Though I was kind of playing in my mind with an idea of trying to put out something like a 5-minute thing each week, just to put on the blog to have something, keep it going over the summer. It probably depend more on how much activity I have with bed and breakfast going on. I do have some work that I'll be doing remotely, so that'll feed into my time.
Do you leave for the entire summer or just part of it?
Yeah, I'll be back at the end of September.
Got to go to Alaska, from what I understand.
Yep. I go north to Alaska. I help my folks run their bed and breakfast business during the summer season. Summer is the bed and breakfast season. There is there's no other time to run a bed and breakfast in Alaska except in the summer.
I can see that.
Yeah. We don't even try. We shut it down at the end of the season. Actually, turns into short-term rentals. For 9 months. What's that?
No ski season.
Well, the bed and breakfast season just disappears. The bed and breakfasts that stay open all year round have to slash their prices in half. They have trouble filling to capacity.
You're close to downtown, right?
Yeah, we're right downtown.
Right downtown. What street?
We're on 16th and E.
Oh, okay.
What city?
Anchorage.
I know very close to that. You know, I lived in Anchorage for 12 years.
So we're just under a mile from the center of town.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, there you go.
That old house hasn't burned down now.
You just described a lot of houses in Spinard.
They had their washers and dryers in the basement. And I thought, well, if that isn't asking for trouble in a wooden house, somebody put something in there and it catches fire and it'll go.
Yeah.
Well, I liked it up there. I really enjoyed the years I spent up there.
I did, too. We didn't even know each other.
Summer and winter, you know, it was fine.
I miss skiing. I haven't gotten to take advantage of snow in a long time. And consequently, my folks, we've been doing every other Christmas with my kids and my wife up in Pine Top. And so they get to have a snow experience. We go sledding and skiing. But, you know, snow was such a part of my life as growing up. In college, I used to cross-country ski from work to home to school. Because there's these bike trails all over town that are useful for only about 4 months of the year for bikes, and then they groom them as cross-country ski trails.
Did you grow up in Anchorage?
Yeah.
And you know, you got the moose, you meet the moose there sometimes.
Yeah, actually, we have some great encounters with moose at the bed and breakfast every season.
Yeah.
Walking through our yard, they come up and eat on our tree.
Oh, they do, yeah.
Goose the moose.
What's that?
Goose the moose.
Goose the moose, yeah. But it's interesting to watch how people react to moose. Most Alaskans will keep their distance. But, yeah, you know, summer you've got tourists in town. They'll walk right up to them. You're like, hey, what are you doing? I've lived here my whole life. I don't know what that moose is going to do. I have no idea. Oh, everybody's leaving. It's 5 minutes early. Oh. I hope that's not an indicator that I was very boring this time.
No, it was fun.
Okay. We just didn't have Bob to ask the question.
That's right. We need some more. But I, you know, that's where the Snowden thing would have came in, right? Oh, hey, going back to John Oliver for a second. He did this great thing with Snowden. He went to Russia and did an interview with him.
Oh, I saw that.
Right? And so He showed Snowden his interviews with people in the streets in New York and how they didn't know who he was.
Yeah.
He said he's got a method to make this relate to the general public, and he used the analogy of a dick pic. He said, we found that most people are concerned about their penis being seen by the NSA or the government. And he went and he did interviews. They went out asking people in the streets, how would you feel if your sexting could be read by the government? He said, well, we need to do something against that. We need legislation. We need controls so that that can't be done. And that was the 100% consensus from everyone that he had, well, at least everyone he had recorded.
Stay out of my stuff.
Stay off. And so he did this dialogue with Snowden. He gave Snowden a folder, and you never saw what was in the folder, but he had Snowden open it up. He said, now that's a picture of my penis. And Snowden's just, okay. And he's like, now tell me. And he goes through every one of the systems that has been disclosed through his leaking of those documents that we know of now that the NSA uses. And had Snowden explain how the government could get a picture of his dick. And it was very easy to relate to. I mean, it's on YouTube. Go to Last Week Tonight with Oliver, with John Oliver and the Snowden interview. It's very easy to find. It's about a 33-minute segment. And it's totally worth looking at because the way Snowden went down the line, each one of the systems, he's like Prism. He'd explain how Prism would come up with that dick pic. I can't even rattle them off, but he had the name of each one of the systems that the NSA is using to track information. He said, just an email. If you send it over, like say you stored it in Google, well, Google periodically
You must be talking about a selfie.
Well, yeah, of course, of course. A selfie of your private parts. But the point was to relate to the American public the invasion of privacy that's happening. And they couldn't relate to the idea that they're tracking all your text messages, they're tracking all your emails, they've got recordings of all your telephone conversations. But everyone they talked to could relate to the idea of, well, I sent a picture of my penis to my girlfriend last week. It's like, well, the government has it. It's like, well, how could the government have a picture of that? And it's like, well, this is the way the government could have it. And Snowden went down the line with each one of the systems that has been, it's not declassified. We just know about it because of Snowden's leaking of all these documents. And each one of those systems now has a name that you can, and so he named each system. He said, well, how would the government have a picture of my penis with that system? He's like, oh, well, with that system, maybe you sent it through Gmail. Well, if you use Gmail, Google has servers all over the world, and they periodically move data back and forth. And the moment your data goes across the border, then it's subject to be searched because of the way the Patriot Act works and because of the way this one system works. It allows the government to look inside that data. You go, well, what about this other system? And he'd mention the other system. You go, okay, now here's how your dick picture would be found by the government if they were using that system. And every one of the systems, it wasn't a question of whether the government had access to it. The government had access to it. The question was, how did they have access to it using that system? Because the government had access to all these systems.
Why is a picture there? Would be my question.
That's a different deal. The point was taking something, and I love this about John Oliver, is he focused in on something that everyone, even the least educated person, could relate to the invasion of privacy. And the question would be, if it's for the betterment, if it's for the security, if it's for your security, why would they be concerned about a picture of your junk? Why would that such an intimate invasion of privacy be there if what you're trying to do is protect us from terrorists?
Right.
No, it was a great way to run an analogy. And very relatable. And I recommend you all watch this. And it was really funny. Snowden was very intelligent.
What's the name of his show?
Last Week Tonight. With John Oliver.
HBO.
Hey, it's on HBO. The segment, what they do is they take and they segment it into pieces and then they release it on YouTube. So we can all watch it on YouTube. And if you did Last Week Tonight, Edward Snowden, you would find the interview I'm talking. He also, there's a segment, it's a 2-minute segment on YouTube talking about passwords with Edward Snowden. And he gives examples, John Oliver gives him examples of passwords, and Snowden's just shaking his head as he's listening to these passwords. And the password examples he's giving are definitely examples that of passwords you would have used. Oh, like misspelling or misinterpretations. He's like, oh, and one of the key things that I thought you should get out of the password segment is Snowden said that if you use an 8-character password, it doesn't matter what it is. It can be broken by today's computer processing power in a second.
A second.
He said, in a second. I know he's probably talking about the kind of computing power that's available to the NSA, but that doesn't mean that computing power is out of the hands of anybody that might need it.
That's why you watch that.
Just means it'll take a little longer.
That's right.
On the program.
and so he was comparing like misspellings. Like one of the examples was password spelled with an E instead of an O. He's like, well, that's already in a password hash table. That would be one of the things, or a dictionary, not a hash table, a password dictionary lookup. So that would be very easy to crack because it would be in that list of common passwords. But his point was he was comparing that to any 8-character password that you use.
Most
passwords you use are 8 characters. Yeah, in fact, what he was suggesting, this was a 2-minute YouTube video, that they pieced out of the whole interview. And the point he was making is you're better off, if you're really concerned about passwords, you're better off coming up with some phrase that's easy for you to remember that would be very hard for, that's very long. In fact, he used the example of, Margaret Thatcher is 110% sexy. And the 110% is a number in the middle of that. And sexy is in capital letters. That's an example of an acceptable password as far as Edward Snowden's concerned. But then keep in mind, these passwords only protect you from the systems that people need passwords to get access to. And systems like Prism, they don't need the passwords because they've got a relationship with Google where they're sucking down all the data information already, and so it doesn't matter whether you have a good, secure password.
The real question is the next administration going to do something about it, or Congress?
Oh, Chester. He used the analogy of like a loaded gun. The NSA right now is kind of like having a loaded gun pointed at your head, saying, I promise I'm not going to shoot. Right? And that's what you're talking about, is they've put these systems into place, and it's our trust in their usage that is protecting us right now. There isn't legislation protecting us. There's not. Oh, and the reason all this is getting brought up is because they're going to address the Patriot Act again June 1st. And most people aren't aware that that's going on. And the last time they addressed the Patriot Act,
they approved it.
They extended it for 4 years. It was approved by Obama. And it was a second thought. In fact, he had a great segment on that as well, where Obama approved it while he was in France doing something else. Yeah. Right? And it was really low-key news at the time that it got approved for another 4 years.
That came out just a week or so ago, that it's been going on for the last four presidents.
Four?
Or the last four terms, you mean?
No, I think longer than that. It was going on.
It started with George W.
To
senior.
No, well, the Patriot Act came out of...
Not the Patriot.
Oh, I'm sorry.
The searching. The ability to...
Oh, yeah, right.
The monitoring has been going on for like clear back to...
Well, I think what you're referring to is the FISA courts and how they can have secretly collected information. And the FISA courts, what allows you to use that information. And they were, and that goes back to the mid-70s. And since the mid-70s, they've had like 29,000 requests for this information, and only 29 have been denied. And that's the ability to use secretly obtained information to bring like investigations or charges against people, where they don't have to justify where the information came from.
It's an update.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's tough. You know, I get caught up in this, well, they've got everything already anyway. But what this, I was watching this morning, the John Oliver thing, what it reminded me is we really can't take that attitude. We really...
You don't know who's going to become the they.
Yeah, and until we have a system in place that prevents the abuse from whoever the they is, then we can't stop harping on the issue.
It's kind of like the Second Amendment, and the reason that our forefathers put the Second Amendment in was to guard against a tyrannical government, not freedom for to have a gun. It was for be able to overthrow a tyrannical government.
Right,
which is what they did with the king.
Right, that was the whole
Second
reason.
The Second Amendment is for. And so, people want machine guns; they are entitled to it.
They're
going to
have them whether they're legal or not,
anyway.
Well, we've been around the horn here.
I think we are, and we've lost half our group, even though it got extremely exciting right at the end. They missed. I made sure they wished they hadn't left early. Anyway, this has been the San Carlos Computer Club with lots of nice people that are diehards. And we will see you guys next week, Tuesday.
And the week after.
The 21st for my second to last meeting, where I will continue to record and post these simply because our stream is non-existent again.
Thank you, Scott.
Thank you, Scott.
You're very welcome. Yeah. Thank you for joining me.
It's always fun.
So, we meet at Tequila's. I should do this little wrap, too. We meet at Tequila's every Tuesday from 9:15 to 10:15. Everybody is welcome to join us. Tequila's is a really nice place with good Wi-Fi and nice table service. And we like being here. A lot of people will show up early, like 8:30, and do breakfast and then stay for this meeting. I recommend it. If you're hungry on a Tuesday, come in early. If you want to learn something about computers, stay for our meeting afterwards. I'm Scott Stimson with International Computer Solutions. I do computer work here in San Carlos. I also do computer work in Guaymas and in Empalme. So if you need any computer help in those three areas, give our office a call at 226-0209. If you're interested in the computer club, any of these meetings or anything we might be posting, you can find all that at our blog at sccclub.org. You can also subscribe to this as a podcast. Go to iTunes Store and search for the San Carlos Computer Club. Again, this is Scott. It's been nice talking to you. We'll talk next Tuesday. Tech on.